Good morning, everyone. Our reading is from Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 48, on page 1032. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, My master is taking a long time in coming, and he then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. This is the word of the Lord. And may I ask, are we ready?
Trying to steal my thunder, Nikki. Gosh, thanks, Nikki. Well, I don't know if this happens at your house, but are you ever ready to go somewhere? You had to leave at quarter to two. It's now 5 past. You've been standing at the door for the last 25 minutes saying, come on, he, she, whoever, it's time to go. You start to walk out the door, they finally make their way down, you head out the door and all of a sudden you check your pocket, you realise you've forgot your own keys and wallet and you don't know where you've left them. I don't know if that's happened to you before, it happens to me all the time, because sometimes we're not as ready as we think we are. Sometimes we think we're ready for something only to find actually we're not prepared. And sometimes we can have all the time in the world to prepare for something and still find ourselves not ready when the time comes. As you look back over your life, how many times can you think of when you've just thought to yourself, man, I knew that was coming, but I really wasn't prepared for it. Maybe it was a job interview. Maybe it was a hard conversation. Maybe it was a reunion. Maybe it's your child coming and announcing that they've got their first boyfriend or girlfriend. It could be a car pulling out as you drive along, or it could be some kind of personal crisis in your life. The reality is that things catch us off guard all the time when we're not ready for them. Now, sometimes it doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't really matter if I'm 5 minutes late to dinner. Although if I missed my own wedding, there would be a problem. But there are some things that does matter. And the biggest thing that matters whether we're ready, the biggest thing that we cannot afford not to be ready for, if you can figure out that sentence, is Jesus' return. We can't afford not to be ready for for Jesus' return. Because, as this passage has reminded us, when Jesus returns, those who aren't ready are going to find themselves in a whole world of pain. So Jesus' teaching here is about the importance of being ready for his return. He says that he will come. We don't know when he'll come. But even though we don't know when, we need to be ready. And so the question that Nikki snuck in and the question of that this passage raises for us today is, are you ready? Are you ready? Now, I think that's a simple question for us to ask, but it's a bit of a tricky question to answer. And I think it can be tricky because a lot of the time we don't really get or understand what it looks like to be ready in everyday life. And so before we can answer this question, are we ready? We really need to ask the question, what does it look like to be ready? What does it look like? Well, as always, the answer is here in the scriptures and the passage that we've just read. But first we need a little bit of context to see where this teaching comes in Jesus' ministry. Well, this teaching comes while Jesus is attacking the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. And he's now speaking to his disciples and a large crowd, and he's teaching them about the end, about when he will return in judgment. And more specifically, he's teaching about how that reality of his return, of his judgment, should transform our lives now. He's preparing us so that we will get ready for his return. Well, up until this point, in Luke, in chapter 11 and 12, he's been teaching the people about what it doesn't look like to be ready for Jesus' return. He says, because I'm returning in judgment, don't be hypocrites. Don't be greedy or wicked. Don't neglect justice. Love people and care for people and look after them. Don't neglect to love God. Don't be proud. Don't look to be important in other people's eyes in chapter 11. And don't place burdens on people. Don't try and make people jump through hoops, he said to the religious leaders. Don't try and make people jump through these religious hoops to come to me, says God, because they don't need to do that. They just need to come and I'll accept them. Firstly, because Jesus is returning in judgment, we're not to be hypocrites. Second, because he's returning in judgment, we're not to fear people. We're not to be more afraid of what people think than what Jesus thinks about us. He says, stop living to please people in chapter 12, verse 4. He says, don't deny me or disown me before people out of fear of them. And lastly, Jesus said, because your life in this world will end, because I will return in judgment, because I'll establish my kingdom, don't bother storing up treasure here. It's not going to last. This life is not all that you have, so you don't have to grab every little bit that you can. Don't live indulgent lives. This is what it doesn't look like to be ready for Jesus' return. And so that's in the background. It doesn't look, being ready for Jesus' return doesn't look like being a hypocrite, doesn't look like fearing men, doesn't look like storing up treasures for ourselves. Well, here, in the passage we're looking at today, Jesus tells us what it does look like. What it does look like. Well, what it does look like to be ready for Jesus' return is to be ready to receive our Master. Just have a look again at those first few verses, verse 35. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their Master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. Now, if you're a servant, if your master is away at a wedding banquet, your job is to be ready when he gets back so you can serve him. Do whatever you need to do for him. Have his slippers there ready at the door. Have the jug boiled so you can make him a cup of tea. Whatever it is that your master requires. But the most important thing is to be able to unlock the door. For a servant back in Jesus' day, When people threw wedding banquets, depending on how rich the person was getting married, their banquet might go for a day or two or maybe even a week. If you're a servant and your master's gone to a wedding banquet, you might have no idea when they're going to return. But if your master returns and you're in the bathtub or asleep in bed and you've left him out in the cold, you're going to be in big trouble. And so the servant's job is to be prepared to receive their master. One job, just one job. Even though it has many tasks, there's really just one job they need to do. And so it is for us, says Jesus. Our one job is to be prepared, to be ready to receive our master when he returns, to be ready to receive Jesus when he returns. Yet, as we read on and we get down to verse 45 and so on, we see actually that it's easy, isn't it, to get distracted from that one job. I don't know if you've seen, I was doing some work and those little, you had one job memes. It's sort of, it'd be a photo and it'd be a Coke label, but inside it's Fanta. Or, you know, all these pictures of people who had one thing to do and they failed that. My favourite was the toilet seat, where someone had mounted a toilet seat, but the lid was first and then the seat was on top. Just crazy. This kind of, you know, you had one job and you failed it kind of thing. Well, it's easy to get so distracted that we can fail our one job in being ready for Jesus. It's easy to get caught off guard. It's easy, isn't it? If you're left with a job and no supervision and no time frame, it's really hard to stay focused and work hard and keep at it, isn't it? It's easy to get distracted. Now, Jesus hasn't given us a time frame. He has given us over 2,000 years of fair warning for us to get ready. But we don't know when he'll return. And when he does return, we can't afford to get caught with our pants down. If we do get caught with our pants down, just like when a robber breaks in, robbers don't, they don't send you a card to say, I'm coming on Monday at 12:30, be prepared. No, if you're a thief, you want a surprise attack. You want to get in when nobody knows you're coming. Well, it's going to be like that when Jesus returns, says Jesus. He will come when you're not expecting it. Don't get caught without being ready. Well, this isn't talking about what we do. Being ready is not some sort of checklist. It's not a religious thing. It's not like we have to do some things to be ready, and if we do other things, we'll be unready. Some people kind of switch between this mentality of, okay, well, I'm ready. It's the morning. I've just woken up. I can't think of anything sinful I've done yet. If Jesus came back now, I'd be ready. I'd be okay. And then they sort of switch between that and they go, oh, well, hang on, now I've sinned. Jesus, don't come back yet. Sort of wait till I sort things out and then you can come back and I'll be okay. Well, that's crazy. That's the kind of hypocrisy that the religious leaders were getting slammed for. No, it's not about what we do, but it's about a matter of our hearts, says Jesus. It's the state of our hearts about being willing to receive him. About being looking forward to his coming, looking forward to what he will bring when he comes. See, if I'm invested in Jesus' return, if my treasure and my joy is wrapped up in what he will bring when he returns, then my heart will long for his return. Then I will be ready. See, as I said before to you, I often get ready to leave and I think I'm waiting for my wife, but then when she's ready, it turns out actually I'm not ready at all. So I'm sure you've got a little test like this, but I've developed a little test to see if I'm really ready to leave the house. It goes like this. It goes, phone, wallet, keys. You got that? You do something similar? A little test to make sure you're leaving the house? I don't know what you check that you've got. Maybe it's like child one, child two, child three. I don't know. You get these little tests to make sure you're actually ready. And so how can we test our hearts to see if our hearts are ready to receive our Master? How do we test to see if we're ready for Jesus' return? Well, here's one little test. How would you feel if Jesus were to return today? How would you feel about Jesus returning at the end of this sermon? Musos, how would you feel about Jesus returning before your last song? Or for everyone, how would you feel about Jesus returning before morning tea? Before lunch, maybe for the school kids, before you finish school or grow up or get married or see your kids grow up or get to retirement or that holiday that you've been waiting for? Would you be delighted if Jesus returned before then? Or would you feel like you'd missed out? Would you be kind of disappointed to know that Jesus would come before those things? We read a verse this morning in our early service that reminded us that one day in God's kingdom is better than 1,000 years anywhere else. Do you feel that? Do you believe that? That the best thing that could happen to you would be if Jesus was to come. See, our job is to be people who are ready and willing and eager to receive Jesus, our Master, and to have our hearts and our hopes and our treasure and our eyes looking and longing and waiting for him to return. And so if our job is all about our hearts, how do our hearts get transformed? What transforms our hearts to long for Jesus' return? Well, it's the incredible love and grace of God. The love shown to us in Jesus. Now, it's easy to miss in this passage, but there was a real surprise in those early verses. I wonder if did anyone see anything particularly surprising as we read through that parable? What's that? There you go. Verse 37. Have a look at verse 37. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. Now, this would be absolutely unheard of for a master to do for their servants. I never watched Downton Abbey. I couldn't stand it. My wife loved it. Show of hands. Actually, after I've said that, no one's going to put their hand up. I know some of you watched it. Even as historically inaccurate, as sort of socially progressive and postmodern as Downton Abbey was, even taking all that into account, I still can't imagine a Lord Grantham or Earl of Grantham, whatever he was, coming home to his servants, putting the apron on his waist, sitting them at the table, shining their shoes, cooking their meal and washing their dishes. It would just be unheard of. And yet our Master, the Lord Jesus, is the gracious Master who, when he comes, will sit us at the table. He will serve us with the apron around his waist. And we know that he will serve us because he already has. He served us by dying a death on the cross for our sins. He served us with his own life. And doesn't that transform your heart? Doesn't knowing that our Master is the one who has served us and will serve us, doesn't that make you ready and eager to receive him when he comes? For it will be good for us, better than anything when he returns. That is what transforms our hearts, knowing Christ, our servant Master. Well, if the state of our hearts has been transformed, if we eagerly wait for Jesus' return, if we believe and have invested all of our hopes in that future, if we believe that it will be better when he returns than it is now, well, that will transform our actions. Service will be a joy and not a burden, even when it's hard. And if our hearts have been transformed, we'll see this world differently. We'll relate to this world differently. We will love God. We will love others. We won't be afraid of people and of ridicule or persecution. We won't be hypocrites. We won't grab everything in this world that we can and store up treasures for ourselves, because we know that there's far better to live for when Jesus returns. So as we finish this morning, I just want to re-ask this question. I want you to keep asking yourself this question all day. Are you ready? Are you ready to walk out the door this very moment and into his kingdom? Or will you be caught with your pants down when he returns? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that our Lord Jesus has prepared us, that he warned us of his coming, that not only that he warned us of his coming and the judgment for those who are not ready, but that he also has prepared us, that he has shown us the greatness of your kingdom, that he has served us by giving up his own life so that we can enter your kingdom, and that he has promised that he will serve us when he returns. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us see the wonder and the love and the grace that you offer, that you give through your Son. And we pray that you would turn our hearts to love you and look forward to your coming. We pray that you would make us ready to receive him. Amen.
Our next song reminds us that Jesus is returning. The one who lives in light will appear to take all those who belong to him to be with him forever. Are you one of those people? Are you ready? And as we sing, the offertory will be collected, which goes to support the work of telling people that Jesus is coming back. But if you're new or visiting today, please be our guest and let the bag pass you by. We stand to sing.
Seated.